Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis 21, verses 14 through 21. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Dear friends, have you ever been so lost that you did not know which way to go? Perhaps you were driving down a road in a place you have never been before. It was dark. You could not see the road signs very well. The map you were following was not very good. And after driving for an hour or so, you came to the conclusion that you were utterly and completely lost. So lost that you could not even find your way back to where you started. Now that can be a frightening feeling, especially if you are alone or are traveling with small children. Well, I am sure Hagar and Ishmael experienced something similar. Last week we saw that after mocking his brother Isaac, Sarah demanded that Abraham throw Ishmael and his mother out of the house. At first, Abraham was reluctant. This was the last thing he wanted to do. But then God appeared to him and told him to do as Sarah had said, for in Isaac would his seed be called. And Abraham did. The next morning, Abraham arose early, took some bread and a bottle of water, gave it to Hagar together with her son, and sent them away. We read in verse 14 that she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Notice what our text says here. It says, she wandered. Hagar got lost. Hopelessly lost. She was so lost that she did not know which way to go. And what was worse, she was running out of water. And Ishmael was dying. Well, what does this sad story have to teach us today? That is what we would hope to find out in our sermon this morning. The theme of the sermon is Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness. We'll consider three points. First, their miserable situation. Secondly, their gracious provision. And thirdly, their permanent rebellion. After commanding Abraham to listen to Sarah and to cast out Hagar and Ishmael, we read in verse 14 that Abraham did as the Lord had told him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. We have here a wonderful illustration of Abraham's faith. It could not have been easy for Abraham to send his wife and child away. Imagine having to send away your own wife and child without any prospect of ever seeing them again. How painful this must have been for him. And yet, this is what Abraham did. He did it because God told him to do it. He didn't argue with God. He didn't seek to bargain with God. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. And he did so without delay. Our text says he rose up early in the morning. We learn here something about faith, friends. Faith manifests itself in prompt, unquestioning obedience. We have seen this many times before in our study of the life of Abraham. When God called Abraham to leave his family and friends and go to a land that he would show him, Abraham obeyed. When God commanded Abraham to circumcise all the members of his household, including himself and his son Ishmael, Abraham obeyed. And so here, when God commanded Abraham to send away Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham obeyed. Whenever God commanded Abraham to do something, he did it promptly and without question. Well, my friends, what about us? Do we do the same? When God commands us to do something, do we do it without question, without delay, even if we have to give something up? Oh, how often does it not happen that when the Word of God commands us to do something, we drag our feet? We make all kinds of excuses. We put up all kinds of arguments. But that's not what Abraham did. Abraham obeyed God promptly and without question. And it is for that reason that he is held up in Scripture as the paragon or the ultimate example of faith. Having said that, it must be admitted that at first glance what Abraham does here appears to be rather cruel and heartless. Our text says he gave them only a bottle of water and a piece of bread for the journey. Some have pointed out that a bottle of water in those days was much larger than the bottles of water that we have today. For example, like the ones you might buy in the grocery store. Nevertheless, considering Abraham's great wealth, it was not very much. One might have expected him to supply Hagar and Ishmael with much more, a few camel loads at least. But he didn't. He gave them only a bottle of water and some bread. What is more, he placed the bottle of water on her shoulder. That implies that he did not even give them a camel or a donkey to carry their provisions for them. He sent them away on foot, with little more than the clothes on their back. How do we explain this? Well, for one thing, we must remember that Abraham probably did not expect Hagar and Ishmael to travel very far. There were other settlements nearby. Most likely he expected them to go there. For another thing, God had promised in verse 13 that he would look after Hagar and Ishmael and make of Ishmael a great nation. Abraham believed that promise. Moreover, he knew that God would fulfill his promises without his help. Oh, the temptation must have been very great to facilitate the realization of this promise by loading Hagar and Ishmael with all kinds of material possessions, to give Ishmael a head start, so to speak. But Abraham had learned through the birth of his son Isaac that God would accomplish his purposes without his or anyone's help. And so Abraham refrained from doing what his heart told him to do. His heart told him to give Ishmael far more than some bread and a bottle of water, but his mind told him to send them away empty-handed, trusting only in the promise of God. We see how far Abraham has progressed in his faith. Up until a few years ago, Abraham probably would have acted quite differently. He would have tried to take matters into his own hands, but he does not do that. Instead, he trusts wholly and completely in the promises of God. He gave Hagar and Ishmael only a few basic provisions and sent them on their way. And so rather than illustrate Abraham's cruelty and insensitivity, what we find here is really an illustration of Abraham's faith. Well, not long after they took their leave, something terrible happened. Hagar and Ishmael got lost. We know this because our text says that they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, that is not unexpected. We must remember that there were no roads or road signs in those days, and so it was probably very easy for people to get lost, especially someone like Hagar, who had probably never traveled alone before. Well, this is what happened. Hagar and Ishmael got lost, and they spent most of the day wandering in the hot, dry wilderness. Well, after a few hours of wandering around, Hagar and Ishmael had another problem. The water that Abraham gave them ran out. Oh, how frightening. There they were in the middle of a hot, sandy desert with no water to drink. Needless to say, within a few hours, Ishmael, who was only about 15 or 16 years of age, became dehydrated. Eventually, he became so weak he could not walk anymore. Fearing the worst and not wanting to watch her son die, Hagar placed him under a shrub and sat down some distance away and wept. What a miserable situation. Earlier that day, Hagar and Ishmael had everything they needed. They had food and drink and shelter in abundance. But now here they were, in the middle of a hot, dry, sandy desert, far from civilization. Ishmael was dying. Most likely within a few hours, Hagar would die as well. And the only shelter they had from the hot, burning sun was a little, dried-up shrub. What a miserable situation. And yet, friends, God did not leave them in this situation. No, God had mercy on them, and He graciously provided for them. That leads to our second point. The situation in which Hagar and Ishmael found themselves was getting more and more desperate. Within a few hours, they would both probably be dead. Just when everything seemed hopeless, God came to their rescue. We read in verse 21, "And God heard the voice of the lad." God heard Ishmael's voice, and upon hearing his voice, he resolved to come down to his assistance. Notice what Moses writes here. God heard Ishmael's voice. It was not the tears of Hagar that motivated him to action. No, it was the groans of Ishmael. Was this because Ishmael was more worthy than Hagar? No, not at all. They were equally guilty before God. Was it because this was a cry of repentance? No. There is no evidence to indicate that Ishmael had truly repented. In fact, the exact opposite seems to be the case. Why then did the Lord hear him? Well, it was because he was a child of his covenant. And as a child of his covenant, God had promised Ishmael certain blessings. He promised to be his God, to look after him, to care for him, and to bestow on him all the blessings of his salvation. We learn something here about the nature of God's covenant of grace. We learn that God will always be faithful to his promises. Yes, even though Ishmael had turned his back on God and on his covenant, God had not turned his back on him. Instead, he watched over him. And when he was in distress, he rescued him. Oh, what a comfort this is to those of you who have sons or daughters who are no longer walking in the ways of the Lord. They may have turned their backs on God, but God will never turn his back on them. He will never say to them, "I will not save you. The door to everlasting life is shut for you." No, not at all. On the contrary, he will hearken to their cry. He will save them, even though they want nothing whatsoever to do with him. And so God heard the voice of Ishmael. And after hearing his voice, we read of the angel of God, who we believe was the pre-incarnate Christ, called to Hagar from heaven, and this is what he said. "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And notice what God says here. First, he asks her a question. "What aileth thee, Hagar?" he says. Calvin remarks that this was meant as a rebuke. It was as though God was saying to her, "What's the matter with you, Hagar? Why are you weeping? Have I not been good to you in the past? Have I not promised that I would be with you and that I would make of your son a great nation? Why then are you weeping? Why are you in such despair? Do you not believe in God? Do you not trust in his promises?" Well, dear friends, this is a question that comes to us as well. Sometimes we too can find ourselves in such a difficult situation that we do not know where to turn anymore. But then the Lord comes to us in his word and he says, "What aileth thee? Have you forgotten my promises? Have I ever failed you before?" And then if we are honest, we must say, "No, Lord, you have never failed us." Well, if the Lord has never failed us in the past, then he will not fail us in the future either. And therefore, dear friend, let us not despair. But rather let us continue to trust in the Lord, even when the circumstances in which we find ourselves are so difficult that we cannot see a way out. Well, after asking her what was the matter, God tells her not to fear. Fear not, he says. What a beautiful expression that is. God often uses that expression when speaking to sinful men. By means of this phrase, he assures the person that he is not coming to judge, but rather to help. And so it is here, by commanding Hagar not to fear, the Lord assures her that he has come to help her. To prove that, he invites her to take Ishmael up in her arms. Arise, he says, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand. God says this in order to give Hagar some hope. There is only one reason why God would command her to take Ishmael in her arms, and that is because he was intending to save his life. And why was God intending to save Ishmael's life? Well, he tells us, for I will make him a great nation. There you have it. The reason why God intended to save Ishmael was because he was planning to make of him a great nation. Now, that is not the first time God made such a promise. The first time was back in chapter 16. But now he confirms it. Ishmael would be the father of a great nation. And then we read something remarkable. We read in verse 20, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Now, some say that the well which Hagar saw suddenly sprung up out of nowhere, but that's not what the text says. The text does not say that God opened the earth. Rather, it says God opened her eyes. From this, we deduce that the well had been there all along, but Hagar did not see it. Now, perhaps you are thinking to yourself, well, how silly. Why didn't Hagar see it? It was right beside her. She could have spared herself a lot of grief and anxiety had she only looked more carefully. But friends, are we any different? Most of us listening to my voice this morning have heard the invitations of the gospel for as long as we can remember. Christ has been presented to us time and time again, and yet some of us are not saved. And why is that? Well, it is not because God did not provide it. It is not because by nature, it is because rather by nature we do not see it. For that our eyes need to be opened by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has to show us our sin and our need of a Savior. Then he must also reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can save us from our sins. You see, unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we will be just like Hagar, on the brink of death, even though the very means which God has appointed for our salvation is right beside us. Oh, we are reminded again of how dependent we are on the Lord for our salvation. God not only has to provide it, he also has to open our eyes to see it. And what is more, he has to give us grace to appropriate it in the way of faith and repentance. Yes, friends, salvation is 100% the work of Almighty God. Now, does that mean that we should just sit back and do nothing and just wait for the Lord to open our eyes? Not at all. Although the Lord is completely sovereign in salvation, man is completely responsible. Therefore, if you are unconverted this morning, do not say that there's nothing you can do about it. The Bible says there is something you can do about it. You can ask, you can seek, and you can knock. Dear friends, unless we knock and seek and ask, we will never be saved. For it is in the way of their asking, in the way of their seeking, in the way of their knocking, that the Lord is pleased to save sinners. Have you done this? Then you may rest assured that God will hear you. For Jesus himself said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord will never turn away those who call upon him. Therefore, call upon him today, while it is still the day of salvation. We see then that the Lord was very gracious to Hagar and to Ishmael. He not only provided them with water, but he also opened their eyes to see it. One would think, therefore, that Hagar and Ishmael would have turned to the Lord and lived unto him from that day forward out of thankfulness for all that he had done for them. But alas, that is not what happened. And that leads to our third and final point. Although the Lord had been very gracious to Hagar and Ishmael, they did not turn to him in faith and repentance. We know this because of what we read in verses 20 and 21. We read there, "And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Now these verses are significant not so much for what they do say, but rather for what they do not say. For nowhere do we read here that Ishmael and Hagar feared the Lord. In fact, if anything, the text indicates the exact opposite. We read, first of all, that Ishmael dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, that is, in the middle of the Sinai Peninsula. In other words, he lived as far away from Abraham and Isaac and the covenant community as he could get. It is evident that he wanted to have nothing whatsoever to do with them or with their God. Secondly, our text says he became an archer. Ishmael became skilled at hunting and killing, much like his grandnephew Esau. He probably hunted and killed more than animals. We know this because when God told Hagar that she would give birth to a son, he said that he would be a wild man, and that his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And so that is what happened. Ishmael became a fierce and savage warrior, living in constant hatred and enmity with his neighbors. Thirdly, our text says he married an Egyptian, a marriage which was arranged by his mother Hagar. Unlike Isaac, Ishmael did not marry someone within the sphere of God's covenant. He went outside the covenant to Egypt and married a woman who was a heathen and an idolater. And all of this points to the fact that in spite of God's gracious dealings with him, Ishmael continued in his stubborn rebellion and unbelief. And dear friends, that rebellion continues still today. Still today, the vast majority of the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs, live in stubborn rebellion against God and his covenant. Oh, they claim to worship the true God. They call him Allah. But they worship a God of their own imagination. And what is more, they continue to despise God's covenant and his people. In fact, the conflict in the Middle East is merely a continuation of Ishmael's rebellion against God and his covenant. Oh, to be sure, God has his people among the Arabs as well, and we thank him for that. But the vast majority of them live in open rebellion and defiance of the living God. And yet, in spite of Ishmael's rebellion and defiance, God was with him. We read in verse 20, "And God was with the lad." That means his eye was always upon him. God watched over Ishmael and protected him from harm and danger. Oh, not because Ishmael was so worthy, for he was not, but because he was a child of the covenant of grace. And as we have seen before, God will never turn his back, at least not completely, on those with whom he has entered into covenant. It does not mean they will be saved in the end, but it does mean God will always be their God. And so God was with Ishmael, and because he was with him, Ishmael prospered. He had 12 sons, all of whom went on to become powerful chiefs, and one daughter, Mahalath, who later married Esau, son of Isaac, and he lived to the ripe old age of 137 years. We see, therefore, that we can receive many tokens of the blessing and favor of God and yet not be saved. God was with Ishmael and blessed him richly, and yet he was not saved. And when he died, as far as we know, he went to hell. Let this be a warning to us, friends. We may enjoy many privileges. We may be baptized and be a recipient of all the promises of the covenant of grace. We may attend church twice every Lord's Day and hear the gracious invitations of the Word of God. We may have everything we need in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and yet, like Ishmael, end up in hell. Oh, may that not be true of anyone listening to my voice this morning. Rather, repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way you can be saved. Your religion cannot save you. Your church attendance cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. Your membership in the covenant of grace cannot save you. The only way you can be saved is by turning from sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, believe on Him then, and you will not be put to shame. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is always a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message that you have heard this morning, or would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and follow the links. For the benefit of those listeners living in Calgary, I am scheduled to lead the services there on Sunday, October the 30th at 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. For directions to the church, please call the church office at area code 403-254-6591. That's 403-254-6591. Or you can log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.